Well, the handyman is good with his hands. He likes solving problems. He goes into many people's homes and they have difficulties. Maybe there's been a problem with the plumbing. Maybe there's some carpentry work to do. And he comes and he helps you out. He's often there in his home waiting for a text, or he's waiting for a call for somebody to call him up. He likes to start early if he can, maybe 8, 8:30, finish early, get the job done, come home to his family. Like many, he looks forward to the weekends and he looks forward to holidays if he can afford them. He doesn't earn a lot. Sometimes he feels a little bit underpaid and undervalued, but he's happy with the work of his hands. Now, the shepherds that we just read about, who worked on the Palestinian hills around Bethlehem, had simple lives. They were considered in Jewish society to be poor men. In fact, they were frowned upon because in those days when there was sheep stealing, it was the shepherds themselves that were blamed. The Jews were very unhappy that these shepherds had to work on a Sabbath day, and so to a certain extent, the shepherds were ostracized. There they were, on those cold, long nights, shift work, taking it in turns to look after the sheep. I wonder what they were talking about the night when the angels appeared. I wonder if some of them were already dozing off. Were some worried about a lion or a bear? Not that they've had lions there, but wild animals. What were they thinking about that night? Well, God broke into their lives. The glory of the Lord shone around them as an angel stood before them. It was so unexpected. But why did I speak about a handyman? What's he got to do with shepherds? Well, this handyman, he visited a family. And this family was different from other families. He listened in to them when they said grace. And when they said their grace at mealtimes, there seemed to be something different about them. They really meant their prayers. There was a sincerity there. But not just a sincerity. He felt as if this family knew God. They began to speak to him about the Bible, about the living God, and about his son, Jesus Christ. They invited him to a carol service. He wasn't the sort that went to church, but he thought, maybe I'll go, it's Christmas time, and he went. Everything seemed strange to him. He knew the carols, he'd heard them in the shops, not all of the words. Some of the carols were unfamiliar, but most he knew. But as he listened to the message that night, it dawned on him for the first time that there was somebody who could sort him out. He realized that he wasn't the honest, upright person that he thought he was. He realized as he began to reflect that there was a lot of deceit in his life, a lot of falseness, a lot of sin. And the preacher that night spoke of Jesus and it said that his very name meant this, Savior, for he had come to save his people from their sins. Preacher went on a bit, but he went from the manger to the cross and he listened intently. And as he spoke about Jesus dying upon a cruel cross, bearing his sins in his body, tears began to fall down that man's eyes. He embraced the Lord Jesus in his heart. He confessed his sin quietly to him. He found forgiveness and he went home rejoicing. The handyman and the shepherds. The shepherds heard the angels. With haste they sped to Bethlehem. They saw a babe in a manger, but believed with all their hearts that he was Christ the Lord. And they went out telling everybody. They were rejoicing and praising God. They told every soul that they met. And the people realized that something had happened. They marveled because of all that the shepherds told them. Well, friends, I wonder, do you believe in this story? It speaks of the supernatural, doesn't it? It speaks of angels. Christmas time, people, in one sense, think of another realm. There are many films. We had E.T. that came out at Christmas time. Extraterrestrials, we don't believe in them. We've got the latest John Lewis advert. Speaks about a young lad meeting a visitor from outer space. And we don't believe these things. But it's strange, isn't there? There's an interest in the supernatural. People go to spiritualist churches and they try to contact the dead. They believe that there's something beyond this realm, a very dangerous thing to do, forbidden by God. But I wonder, what do you believe? Do you believe that there is a God who made this world? Do you believe that he sent his Son into this world? Do you believe that angels heralded his birth? Well, let's follow these shepherds. We're going to follow them from the hillside to Bethlehem and then out into the world. Well, what did they see that night? It startled them. They were extremely afraid. They were terrified. You would be if suddenly an angel appeared to you. If you were just chatting to your friend on a hillside or dozing off to sleep, and suddenly a bright light from heaven shone around you, and you saw this spectacular, beautiful, clean, holy being, you would be dreadfully afraid. We read, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." They come from the holy realm of God, and they brought the presence of God with them, and the glory of God shone around them. They're afraid. And in the Christmas stories, there are many people who are afraid. And each time they're afraid, whether it's Mary, whether it's Joseph, whether it's the shepherds, the first word that they're given is this: do not be afraid. Strange, isn't it? The thing that was the greatest blessing for the world, the birth of a Saviour, the Son of God taking upon himself human flesh, divinity wedded to humanity, the most unbelievable, although it's true, the most staggering, the most, what we would say, impossible thing happened. God entered the world and God joined himself to humanity. Strange, isn't it? That the first response of human beings, Mary, when she heard the news, though a virgin, she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Joseph in a dream, frightened to hear the news that Mary was expecting, and again an angel coming to him in a dream. Mary fearful, Joseph fearful, the shepherds fearful. Isn't it strange that that's the first reaction to such glorious events? You know, there are people who spend all their lives running away from God, and people all their lives fearful about God, suppressing the truth that God is, not wanting to give their minds to these things and consider them. Oh, if only we knew that this was the greatest news in all the world. They say, do not be afraid. The angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is glad tidings of great joy, for all of the nations rejoice. You may be afraid of God. If he appeared to you in his naked holiness, in his absolute purity, all of us would be tremendously fearful of him, because we're sinners. And he is so holy, no blemish in him. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. All of our darkness will be exposed by his blazing light. But he's merciful. He hasn't appeared to us in that way. But he comes to us in a message about his Son. He comes to us in the Word of God. And he says, do not be afraid. Don't run anymore away from God. Don't ignore him. This is the best news. Now, after the angel had appeared and told them that very day a Savior has been born in the city of David, it was their Messiah. These were Jewish shepherds, as was prophesied in Old Testament days, the Christ, the Messiah, had been born. The angel then said, the sign to you will be this. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Now that must have been so strange for them. The shepherds, they'd seen many animals feeding out of animal troughs, feeding troughs. And yet, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, laid in an animal feeding trough. An outstanding, a truth that was just beyond them. They're lying in swaddling cloths. The Jews would have expected him to be born in better circumstances. They would have expected him to be born, yes, in Bethlehem, as Micah said, but with the attendance of midwives, in a clean room. They knew that he would come from the line of David, but little did they think that a young couple, Joseph and Mary from Nazareth, would be of that very line. When Jesus was born, there were no important people there. There were no friends and family there. It was just Jewish poor shepherds who had come. If you were to write this story and you were to decide what would happen, you would say, well, if the Son of God would come, he would be born in a palace. He would be born in the best of circumstances. But no, Emperor Augustus was overlooked. Jesus wasn't born in his ambient. Governor Quirinius of Syria had nothing to do with the birth of the Saviour. Great King Herod had nothing to do with him. Nor was Jesus born in the precincts of the temple, in the sacred temple. The high priest Caiaphas would have nothing to do with the birth of Christ. God would bypass royalty, bypass political power, bypass Jewish religion. For sadly, as we all know, often these things are corrupt. Politics, religion, royalty. And God would choose a young couple from Nazareth. And he would choose shepherds, poor, despised. And the glorious truth that the Savior of the world had been born would come in this way. When Jesus came, he came to be a servant. He would live a difficult life. Very early on, as a babe, he would be taken away as a refugee into Egypt and then brought back. At his birth, Herod will want to kill him, and so he's taken into exile. He will grow up in a handyman's shop, in a carpenter's shop. He would live in obscurity until he was 30 years old. And then he would preach the unsearchable riches of God. And he came not to be served, but to serve. He came and he healed men and women of dreadful diseases. He came alongside the outcasts of society. You see, this was the Son of God who had humbled himself to live for us and to go to a cross for us. The Bible says this, that he didn't come for the righteous, but he came for sinners to bring them to repentance. Now, don't you love this wonderful gospel story? Don't you love this wonderful truth that the Son of God should stoop so low in order to save sinners like you and like me? What will be your response? Let's consider the shepherds. When they got the news, they were full of joy. They said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. You see, the one angel had spoken to them, and then suddenly afterwards, a whole squadron of angels, a multitude, a choir of angels, an orchestra of angels appeared and sang, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And this message had captivated them. And now men could know peace with God. Now sinners could be reconciled to God. Now there could be forgiveness of sin. Now man's relationship with God could be restored. And they went with haste. Are you excited? Are you quick to go to the Saviour? Are you seeking him with all your heart? I would encourage you, go to the Saviour. Do not give up. And what are we told? Well, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And that's it. We're not told what went on in that stable-like structure. We're not told about the conversation. We're not told if they bowed down before him, as did the wise men. It's a holy moment. But what we do know is that when they left Joseph and Mary, they were so convinced that this was the Saviour of the world that they told everybody. Would people listen to these shepherds? They were despised in society. They were on the lowest rung in social standing in Jewish society. Would people listen to them? People couldn't help listen to them. They made widely known the saying that had given to them by the angel. This was the Saviour, the Christ. And all wondered at this, all marvelled at it. And we read this. They then returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. These men, their lives had been changed. They had been turned upside down. They would never be the same men. And you know that can be true for you tonight. Whether you're male or female, whether you're old or young, Jesus can turn your life upside down. He can give you joy where there's sadness. He can give you peace where there's unrest. He came into the world to save by going to a cross, shedding his blood that you might be forgiven. Will you come to him tonight? There's a heaven to gain, but there's also a hell for all who reject the Saviour. Will you not come to him? Will not Christmas truly be about Christ, and not just about presents, and not just about food, and not just about singing carols, but may it be about the Lord Jesus Christ? The handyman, he came to a carol service and his life was changed. May God change you. May you know him. May you know his forgiveness. May you know his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.